Well, over the last little while, we've been sharing in the story of Ruth's journey in the Old Testament towards the blessing of God. And today we're going to see that she embarks on a risky part of that journey, one that could well bring her undone. It seems that that's always a part of the faith journey, isn't it? Risk. Bernie Diamond, welcome again to the program as we continue our look at God's amazing promises from a different perspective. It's just great to be able to have a few minutes to spend with you again today. Now, you may recall that over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this woman, Ruth, a Moabite woman who marries an Israelite. We read all about it in the Old Testament book of Ruth. It comes about because there's a famine in the land of Israel, so one family, headed by a man called Elimelech, with his wife Naomi and their two sons, flee to the land of Moab. There, Elimelech and his two sons die, leaving Naomi there with her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. Now, as things turn out, Naomi and one of those young women return to Bethlehem in Israel, because that's where Naomi's family is. That's where her extended support network is. But their problem is quite simply that as widows, one young, one old, they were destitute. In those days, without a husband, a woman had no one to provide for her. And the interesting thing, I guess, the thing that's really struck me about Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, as much as it must have hurt, as much as they felt the anguish of their predicament, they just didn't sit there and wallow in their grief and their misery. Instead, they stepped out, they took some risks, and they went on a journey to find God's blessing. That's the key. That's what we learn from them. And as they travel along that road, we discover a few things about God as well. Well, today we're going to look at the mindset of taking risks, or at least apparent risks, along this journey into God's blessing. Because stepping out, risking it all, is, I think, a part of God's plan for us. Now, if you missed any of the messages so far, you can listen to them online at ChristianityWorks.com. Just go to the A Different Perspective program section off the homepage and you'll find them all there. The other thing you can do is grab a Bible and read the first couple of chapters of the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, fairly early on there, about a quarter of the way in the Old Testament. It's a powerful story, and we're picking it up today, beginning at chapter 3. There's this relative of Naomi's, a man called Boaz. He's a wealthy landowner, and because young Ruth was prepared to go and glean some of the leftovers in one of his fields during the harvest time, she's already run into him once. He had blessed her, and she was shocked by the blessing. In fact, let's go back into chapter 2 and take a quick look to just to recap and remind ourselves. Ruth chapter 2, beginning at verse 10. Then she felt prostrate with her face on the ground and said to Boaz, "Why have I found favour in your sight, that you should take notice of me when I'm a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." See, Ruth was loyal to her older mother-in-law, journeying to a foreign land with her. She was diligent, hard-working, not too proud to pick up the leftovers from the harvest with all the other poor people. So by God's grace, through his doing, she'd come across this Boaz. But the story doesn't end there. Have a listen now as we look at what Naomi, the mother-in-law, told Ruth, the daughter-in-law, to do next. Ruth chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may be well with you. Now, here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now, wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor, but don't make yourself known to the man until he's finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies, then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." Now, let me tell you, this was risky, very risky. In our time, in our culture, maybe we don't fully understand what's going on here. Go and lie down at this man's feet. What's that all about? Seems just a bit inappropriate, doesn't it? I mean, after all, Boaz is a wealthy landowner. Ruth, as young and pretty as she may have been, was a poor widow. They weren't married. Was she putting herself at risk? Would she offend him? What's going on here? I love the way that Adam Clark puts it in writing about this incident back in the late 1700s or the early 1800s. I'm quoting him because I love the sense of properness that underpins what he says, something we may miss in the anything-goes morality of the 21st century. This is how Clark puts it. It is said that women in the East, when going to the bed of their lawful husbands, through modesty and in token of subjection, go to the bed's foot and, gently raising the clothes, creep under them up to their place. On the whole, we must say, had not Boaz been a person of extraordinary piety, prudence, and continence, this experiment might have been fatal for Ruth. We cannot easily account for this transaction. Probably Naomi knew more than she revealed to her daughter-in-law. The experiment was, however, dangerous and should in no sense be imitated. I love that. So whatever we may think of the morals, I mean, every indication is there was no physical intimacy going on here, just the boldness of imitating the physical proximity which should only ever occur between a husband and his wife. The bottom line of all of this is that Ruth is being asked to do something right out there on the edge, very risky. She's being asked to lay it all on the line, to step out into a place that would have been frightening for her, to do something that given the morals and the customs of the day, would have been very uncomfortable for her, and to risk her reputation and to risk any future blessing from Boaz by executing her mother-in-law's plans. Now, Naomi's motivations are right. She's trying to get security happening for her young daughter-in-law. By doing this, she's asking Ruth effectively to go and propose to Boaz. That's what her act meant. That's what this was all about. Now, I'm not going to get hung up here on the moral rights and wrongs of all of this. It's not the point. The point is that Naomi believed that God had put Boaz there for a reason, and that that reason was to bless Ruth with long-term security, which in turn would bless Naomi. They were prepared to take risks in order to step out into that blessing. Now, this is a hard call. It's by no means cut and dried. But I wonder how often we find ourselves in the proximity of God's blessing, and what's required is the courage to step out and to take a risk. And what we do instead is we recoil and we miss out on the blessing that God had planned for us. I often struggle with this. Is it time for me to step out and do something, or should I sit and wait for God to do something? On the one hand, we don't want to run ahead of God or run in opposition to God. But on the other hand, well, you know, we don't want to be sitting there doing nothing when God expects us to do something. And the only way I've been able to figure this out, to know which one is which, is to make sure that I spend some time every day praying and reading God's word and listening to him and discerning his will. It seems as time's gone on, that's something I'm getting better at. Although, you know, I don't think we're ever meant to reach perfection in this area. It's a faith thing, a part of growing our relationship with Jesus. And God knows our heart. He will always honour a good heart. This one thing's for certain, though. There are many, many times when we need to step out and to trust him in order to lay hold of the blessing that he has planned for us. Blessing is not an easy subject to chat about because all too often we don't actually feel all that blessed. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called, Does God Really Want to Bless Me? It's full of life-changing practical Bible teaching to help you actually live in the blessings that God has for you. And at the end of each chapter, you're going to find some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Hey, thanks so much for joining me.
I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.